The Holy Gospel for this All Saints Sunday is from John chapter 11. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Christ. Let me go ahead and be seated.
I forgot my sermon, but I got it right here now, so... And I did not forget a joke. I just have to say this joke. And there are no kids here, except for behind me, yes. So this is a picture of the kids I took. We were talking about what it means to be saints, and I just pointed out that, you know, we're lighting these candles for saints that have gone ahead of us, but that there are current saints now. We're all saints. We're saints and sinners. Sometimes we do good stuff and bad stuff, and they came up with people like Pastor Beth who do good stuff, and they just came up with lots of good answers for what it means to be a saint now, and then also that death happens, and so we honor those who have died before us. So that's what we talked about. So I put the picture up there just to remind the kids and to remind us that saints are alive, and of course they're alive in our hearts, and that's why we do this thing. But here is the joke. So this 85-year-old couple have been married almost 60 years, and they die in a car crash. They have been in good health the last 10 years, mainly due to her interest in health food and exercise. When they reached the pearly gates, St. Peter took them to their mansion, which was decked out with a beautiful kitchen and master bath suite and jacuzzi. As they oohed and aahed, the old man asked Peter, "How much is all this going to cost?" "It's free," Peter replied. "This is heaven." Next, they went back to survey the championship golf course that the home backed up to. They would have golfing privileges every day, and each week the course changed to a new one representing the great golf courses on earth. The old man asked, "What are the green fees?" Peter's reply, "This is heaven. You play for free." Next, they went to the clubhouse and saw the lavish buffet lunch with the cuisines of the world laid out. "How much to eat?" asked the old man. "Don't you understand yet? This is heaven. It is free," Peter replied with some exasperation. "Well, where are the low-fat and low-cholesterol tables?" the old man asked timidly. Peter lectured, "That's the best part. You can eat as much as you like of whatever you like, and you never get fat, and you never get sick. This is heaven." With that, the old man went into a fit of anger, throwing down his hat and stomped on it, and shrieked wildly. Peter and his wife both tried to calm him down, asking him what was wrong. The old man looked at his wife and said, "This is all your fault. If it weren't for your blasted bran muffins, I could have been here 10 years ago. I thought that was pretty funny. So I really only have three questions for today to think about and to talk through and related to our reading. What is life? What is death? And we are not Noah, so we're okay. What is life? What is death? And what is resurrection? And when I'm thinking about life and death, I think about babies. You know, I was present when our two children were born, and if you've ever seen that, a birth of a child, it's fantastic. And just like in the beginning of Genesis, a baby breathes their first breath outside of the womb, and you hear crying, and it's all good, and then you give them to the mom, and everything's fine. Well, except, anyway, if you've been there, it's not quite that easy, but that's how it goes. But life. We know life, and we know death. You know, if you're going to light a candle today, you know death. If you've had a family member or a friend or a pet, you know death. So when I say babies, I think about when I worked in the Grace Harbor Hospital in Aberdeen. One of the most profound experiences I had there was I was in the ER room. I was a chaplain there. And we heard a call that an infant was coming in, an infant who had drowned in a tub. And so the medics came in, and they were working on her, and she just looked like just a little rag doll. I mean, just because she was just so tiny, just a couple months old. And they just kept doing CPR and kept doing CPR and bringing in all kinds of, you know, everything you do to try and get life to happen. And going on, and 15 minutes and half an hour and 45 minutes. And eventually the ER doctor just said, you know, the head guy said, that's it. She's not going to make it. And she didn't. She had died. Death happens. It's real. And for me, just seeing that and watching so many people who were about life and wanting people to be better, and especially kids, I mean, just the power of life-giving for that kid was astonishing. And simultaneously, super tragic, because that baby didn't come back to life. So that's one I think about a lot, because it's traumatic when kids die. Fast forward a couple years, just recently, there's this video that was on YouTube that I saw. And the setting was somewhere in Afghanistan or Pakistan or in the Middle East somewhere. There was bombings or earthquake. I don't know. I don't know the setting. But here you had 20, 30 people, and they're just digging in this rubble. I mean, just with their hands digging, you know, and their hands are getting, and they're digging in. I don't know what they're digging for, you don't know. And then suddenly emerges a couple little fingers, and then an arm. And you see that these people are digging out a body of someone, you know, trying to recover. And they keep digging and digging, and they're big stones in the way, and they make their way, and I mean, it's just frantic. And finally, you see that it's a kid. It's a little kid that was just stuck or trapped in this just heaping, nasty rubble mess. And finally, they're able to free the biggest stones enough, and they pull this lifeless, just like that rag doll of a baby, out. And it's full of dirt, and when they push on his chest, I think it was a boy, push on his chest, you know, dust comes out of it. I mean, there's just no way. And they keep working and keep working, and his eyes open, and then he starts to cry, and he's alive. Just the complete opposite of that first one. Life, just like from the beginning. Life. So I think we all know what death is, because it surrounds us all the time. And I think we all have an understanding of life, because we're all alive here right now, and we're breathing. We're not necessarily that infant in a bathtub or that infant stuck in rubble. We may sometimes feel that way, but we know about life, and we know about death. So when Jesus comes in this scene, he says, there's more. I want you to think about faith. Now, faith, I have a friend, agnostic friend, that when he and I talk about faith, I just always say to him, and Dave is his name, Dave, I just want 51%. I just want you at 50. If you're at 51%, we're good. That's all faith is. It's just 51%. It's just leaning towards life just slightly more than leaning towards death. Because that's what resurrection is. That's what faith gets us. God's grace, when we know God's grace is a gift for us, there's nothing we can do about it. We start leaning in that direction, 51%, 52%. So resurrection. Here's a definition of resurrection that I've found. I like it. Resurrection is radical courage. Resurrection is radical courage. So it's courage in the face of death at its biggest sense. So resurrection, here's another way to think about it. Resurrection is not the absence of death, because we know death, it's all around us, but it's courage in the midst of death. It's courage in the midst of death. So in that scene of the baby in the rubble, those folks are fighting for life. They're fighting and digging with their bare hands to resurrect this child. And that happened as well in the room, in the ER room. And many people, because of their faith, even though that scene was tragic, they were able to continue because they're at 51%. That's what keeps you going, resurrection. Well, so in this scene, Jesus is talking with Mary and Martha. And, well, you know, this scene, I have these three chains for three of the three D's of the gospel. That's in the Gospel of John. And in all of the gospels, you've got doubt, a small d. I mean, and a bigger chain of, we'll say, demons. And then the biggest chain is death. So in the, you know, Gospel of Thomas, doubt is the one that we kind of, that one goes kind of like this. I mean, sometimes it can go, but that one Jesus says, you remember the doubting Thomas story, go ahead and doubt, but I'm here. I am the resurrection and the life. Just believe in me, Thomas. And when Thomas sees him resurrected, he does believe. He does believe. So Jesus, and now, as Brent said, or someone else said, I'm not the person who's broken into our shed, just in case you were wondering. I just bought this a while ago, and I like to use it whenever I can, and this is the time where I'm going to use it. So I'm not the shed guy. But what Jesus says is, you have doubts? You're going to have doubts. I have doubts. He said that in the garden. He said, Lord, I don't want to do this, but your will, I got to do it. I have courage to do this because I know the way. The way is to you, which is eternal life. Here's another way to think about it. Are you a life beyond death kind of person or a death beyond life kind of person? So a death beyond life is, life is what it is, and then there's not more. A resurrection kind of person, a faithful person, will say, there is life beyond death. And we get a preview of that all the time. Like, if you go, you should watch that video online. I don't know how to get to it. Baby being rescued in rubble. Just try that. It's just so inspiring. Because it just shows you that people value life, and there's life beyond death. So if you doubt, Jesus comes and he says, go ahead and doubt. I know, I understand, I get it, but through God's grace, you're going to doubt. But I break that. I free you. Go. Be resurrected. Live a resurrected life. Have courage. Have faith. So when we come to remember our baptism, that's partly what remembers. We remember the power of God's grace in our lives. And we remember that we are resurrected now and can go forward in life and love and serve and rescue. Even if we have doubts, Jesus breaks those. Oh, and then there's the demons. Oh, boy. You pick your favorite demon. I don't know, addiction. We've all got them. The Gospels are filled with Jesus healing people, breaking people free of their demons so that they can experience the resurrection. Because Jesus says, I am the resurrection and life. Come to me. My burden is light. I'll free you. And he does. In the stories again and again. When we talk about saints of God, people who do good things, people like Mother Teresa, for example. I mean, that's a perfect example. Someone who had a lot of doubts, if you heard about that recently. But who was about life and resurrection now. And freeing people's demons, even in the face of death. You're free. That's what Jesus says. And then this one, death. This one that binds everybody up because we all know it. You think this is the one that'll get people down. But Jesus says no. Even death. And then that's our scene. His friend that he loves. He knows death. Jesus knows death because he was human like us. He was angry. The text is kind of gentle in our translation. He was pissed off. I'm just trying to be as clear as possible. He was very upset. Like we get when people die. Or when you just don't get it. Jesus was like that. He knows. I had a friend a while back we knew in seminary, who was getting ready to be ordained. This was her, and her, to be at her first church. And she talked about how, as she was preparing and, you know, getting her robes on and stuff, her mom had died the year before. And she started crying as she was talking about this story. Because she said, my mom wasn't there to see this and to help me straighten out my stuff, you know. And I get that. And Jesus gets that. And he says, even death doesn't separate you from God. Even death. The power of faith and resurrection goes beyond death, even death. What is life? It's knowing God is here with us. It's knowing about the power of resurrection. It's knowing about God's grace for us. God has pursued us from the time we were born until this moment. And going into our lives forward until we're done. Because when we die, if you believe in resurrection and have faith, it's just an interruption. Then you can be like the old guy when you get to heaven. Hey, wait a minute. It's all free? Yes. And that's the power of resurrection. That's the power of grace. That's the power of our faith, which God gives us as well. We are free. Free to live. Free to be God's people in this world. So when you come, remember, God was there at the morning cry, as the verse says, and I'll be there in the end because we're going to sing morning cry with one more surprise, and that's resurrection. Amen.